So, Richard, your choice is to go to Sevier County in this severe weather, and you're going to keep in mind the possibility of an emergency landing as you head down in that direction if things get too bad. How do you know when things are too bad? What does that mean? How do you keep it from going so far that you can't even find a safe place to land off airport?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a difficult part of this scenario. What I liked about heading to Sevier County is I have some really good visual references in those two reservoirs and the towers in between them. So for visibility's sake, I ought to be able to pick up those reservoirs and pick up the towers, and that gives me an idea of what my real visibility is. If it ever got down to where I just don't have the visibility and I feel like it's difficult to keep the wings level and I'm getting too close to the ground for comfort level, I'm getting that feeling that I'm lost, it's time to stay where I am and put it down. So that's the rough sort of assessment I would use.
Yeah, we're almost too close to the ground already for comfort, right, as you're heading down in that direction. How about anyone else? Do we have general agreement that for this pilot, this situation, given their experience level and the equipment they have, heading south is the right way to go? Everybody's on the same page with that?
I think we're all kind of just depressed at this guy having gotten into this situation. And to me, Richard, you've picked the best solution here of four solutions that aren't very appetizing. And we see this kind of scenario repeat itself all the time, so it's good that you put it in here. I like going south also because the terrain is more favorable, and Mean Arkansas has a real reputation for snagging airplanes on the high terrain. It's kind of in a bowl. And this strikes me as just the least risky way to get out of this. And then you've got the bolt hole of landing on a road or field or whatever as a desperation, but that definitely is desperation to my mind.
You know, I think this pilot has done a really bad job of realizing what kind of deep trouble he's in. Of all the scenarios we've covered, this is by far the most dangerous. I agree with the move to turn south, but also, you know, my definition of IMC is a little bit different from this pilot's definition, and that is that it's like anytime I'm not flying with a clear horizon and can't maneuver with total confidence based solely on the horizon, that's IMC to me. And this indistinct hazy horizon with rain and low ceilings, he's in IMC already in my mind. And so the only question is, in IMC by my definition, do you try that low altitude 180 degree turn? Because that to me is a risky maneuver. So I don't disagree with the decision to turn toward the south and lower terrain, and I think that the chances of finding and being able to land this airplane in 1,000-foot ceiling is pretty good. But it's like a close second would be a wings level climb. He's already in touch with ATC. If you're confident you can hold the wings level and safely climb to a higher altitude, a safe altitude, and get to VMC conditions, you know, that would be a close second to this.
So what's the calculus on that? Who wants to chime in about, you know, this pilot has experience, very limited experience, but it went well flying on instruments and what needs to be is a wings level climb, hopefully to somewhere, on how well that would go and whether that's really a viable option.
Couple things. One of the things, the fact it's raining means that it's not a little layer you're going to pop up through. You're going to go solid. The second thing is we do so much training in VFR, and I do a lot of hard IFR training. In other words, I will fly, and I do most IFR training on a clearance. But what I've discovered is even though they're wearing the hood, they're using peripheral vision. And when you take somebody in actual weather, it's vastly different psychologically and flying. I like the option of the turn back. I guess the one piece I would do, if he's got a tablet, I would touch that over the reservoir and outside the tablets and touch it somewhere else and touch it on the airport and go up there and let the line connect all those dots. You know, I was always taught in low visibility, and I agree what's being said, you have to see forward. Those towers are going to be extremely difficult to see. And I'd rather just use a GPS to make sure I'm not there. And I probably might go down. As to when I'd make the off-field landing, I agree totally with what's being said. I mean, how you do force landings. I mean, it's graphic, right? you look straight down and I can look out 30 degrees. If all I can see is down, it's time to quit. It's time to make the landing. As long as I can see forward, and this argues for maybe using your electronics to make sure I'm not going to hit those towers, it'd be very hard to see in precipitation and just going down a little bit. I mean, the airplane doesn't care how high it is.
Well, one of the things I'm thinking is, I think it's already been said, but maybe the pilot shouldn't have gotten this far to begin with. So one of the options could have been Sevier County sooner in the flight when they were closer to the airport instead of continuing on when they could see that the weather is deteriorating.
Right. This fell apart at that last dodge to the north. I'm just going to get around this last rain shower and then I'm in the clear.
Yeah, along those same lines, a pilot, as described in the scenario, I see that pilot thinking, I'm going to try this maneuver, this maneuver, this maneuver, and if those don't work, it becomes an emergency. I put the airplane down in a field. To Judy's point, I think we need to back up the point when we get into the emergency mindset. He was, as David said earlier, he was in an emergency long before he even began diverting. And I think a lot of pilots won't even think that they are in the emergency scenario and need to be thinking about an escape mechanism that soon into this type of scenario.
And this is that frog in the boiling water to, you know, bring up the cliche. Like, things are just slowly deteriorating and we'll maybe just a little bit further. And the information on the tablet may actually be coaxing you on. If there's a big clear area where you're not seeing rain in the next rad return, well, that's got to be clear and good visibility, right? So how do you avoid that? How do you protect against that slow temptation into something that's worse and worse and worse?
You know, and just a point about Arkansas on the map here, it's like they're not exaggerating about that rapidly rising terrain. It is precipitous. It has claimed, it is littered with airplane wreckages over the years. It's, you know, lots of airplanes have come to tragic fates there. Something that I think it's attributed to Winston Churchill, whether he actually said it or not, but the old saying that it's like, if you're going through hell, keep on going. You know, this person has got themselves in a really tough spot. And you see it a lot where a pilot will fly into this really critical situation, finally see that the situation is pretty dire, and then land or attempt to land. And it's like, wow, you know, you've flown all the way across the country to find the worst possible conditions under which to attempt this. And that's when I mentioned the lure of a wings level climb over lower terrain, that's kind of what I'm thinking. You're in this hellish spot. Keep on going. Get clear of the terrain. Keep the aircraft under control. Communicate your intentions to ATC.
Yeah, Dave, back to that. That troubles me a little bit just because that is so treacherous for an untrained pilot to get into IMC conditions. And the challenge is, once you make the decision to go up in those conditions, there is no way out now. If you start to lose you get spatial disorientation or something, it will end in tragedy then, because there's no way to recover that almost. And so for that reason, that would be the last option I would choose. I would put it down somewhere before I would choose that option.
Well, two things. First, if you climb up through it, depending on how widespread the area is, you may have to come back down through it later. So that's also part of the decision-making, whether or not he will, if he did climb up successfully through it, could progress far enough to the east to get out of it. But back to Jeff's question about specific techniques, what I suggest is that when planning a trip like this, you pick a specific lowest altitude for each segment of the flight, create your own minimum and route altitudes, basically, for a visual pilot. And then if you're coming up on the next segment of the sectional chart and your pre-flight planning says, I need to be at 3,200 feet or higher here, and you cannot get to 3,200 feet, you turn around or land then. You don't progress any farther into it. So instead of thinking, what's the safe altitude for the flight? Think in terms of segments of the flight and each one being a decision point.
I was just going to say, the other trap here is the fact that all this next rad is very good, but it has some traps. One of them is the assumption that because it's not green, it's suddenly going to be good weather. The clouds don't go away. The overcast doesn't go away. The visibility may pick up. Conversely, many a day I sit there on top and they're the stuff is horrible down below, but you're so the continuity of the weather, and in fact, the warm front, which this probably is, the classic warm front, claims way more people than cold fronts. Everybody understands you don't fly into that wall of terror, but this one sucks you in.
Right. The minimum altitude point that Tom mentioned, it's like this pilot's already well below it. The safe altitude on this segment is well above him.
Which is the emergency has already begun.
Exactly. Yes. Right. In my mind, this person is deep into the emergency.
Right.
I mean, he's got terrain, low visibility, and now he's got an IMC 180-degree turn to make or an IMC climb to make, either of which could end fatally. So it's like, choose your poison. You know, are you going to... you know, roll the dice if you believe in your equipment and your ability to climb above and think you can climb to VMC, you know, you're in extremis already. And if you think you can do the 180-degree turns, stay clear of obstacles and return to an airport, go for it. But realize this is an extreme situation that's you're in the midst of.
It was questionable to begin with. So a better choice might even be, why did the pilot even take off in the first place? You know, if you look at the forecast and you're looking at the weather and you have high terrain, you know, better option might have been just to sit on the ground and wait for the weather to improve as well, if things were moving faster than they had anticipated.
Have some more whiskey.
Yeah. Certainly no lack of things to do, right? And that would clearly make it so that, well, I can't fly today, so now I'm done for the day. A couple of interesting things that have come up kind of in asides that I want to pick up on. Not that we want to encourage anyone to go scud running, but there were two really good tips that came out of this if you did find yourself in too deep. One was on deploying flaps so that, you know, we can slow down and buy us just a little bit more time before running into that tower. And then, Hobie, you brought up, you know, just building a custom route for yourself, like on the tablet, like right there to right here to right there, rather than having to try and find it, you know, necessarily visually.
But that kind of thing is for a pilot more experienced than this. Scud running gets a bad rap. And if you know what you're doing in scud running and you're an experienced pilot, it's done with reasonable risk, not perfectly safely. You have to understand the conditions where you can do it and where you can't do it. But the way we've set this up, this guy's probably not one of those. And he's in extremis, so this is not the time to do trial by fire. Otherwise, yeah, it's a good plan.
I'm always looking for technical solutions to things, and there is a really promising one that's not available to this pilot now, but soon will be available to pilots elsewhere, and that is that these low-cost digital autopilots, you know, something with a level button that the pilot can touch, crank in a 180-degree turn, and with some degree of confidence be assured that the plane will behave as expected. So I think that, you know, obviously wouldn't encourage people to get in this sort of situation and depend on an autopilot, but this new generation of low-cost digital autopilots could be of great help in this particular scenario.
Well, let's take that out a little bit further here. If this plane had a basic, very basic wing leveler autopilot in it, does that change the calculus for people about just climbing, declaring an emergency, going into the clouds? Because now spatial disorientation isn't the big concern. Now you're completely dependent on the autopilot working, but would that change it for people, or would you stay down low?
Only slightly.
Tell me more.
Well, he can keep the wings level, but this is the problem I had with the climbing up into the overcast. It does say that he did well flying basic instruments. He's flown a few approaches. Well, if he climbs into it, maybe he'll get between layers. He's probably not going to get on top, so he's going to be in it the whole time. So he's going to have to take vectors, he's going to have to take descents, and he's probably going to have to fly a full approach or a partial approach somewhere. That's going to be demanding for a guy who's rattled. So yeah, the autopilot is good, including one of the panic button type things, but I don't think it's quite the solution we imagine it to be here.
I agree with that. What the autopilot would do in this low altitude scenario is he could spend his time navigating and looking out the window, not trying to stay right side up. In that instance, I think it would be a huge aid.
So there's an interesting use of the autopilot, but don't use it to climb into the clouds. Use the autopilot in some kind of basic heading mode just as another pilot on board to keep the plane upright.
A long-term offshoot on the visual segment of an instrument approach where you really want the automation because you need to be looking out the window.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And the other piece of technology that, of course, is there is some kind of synthetic vision with obstacles. Gives you at least a digital forward view and some warning when things are coming up. Let's go a little to that off-airport landing. How do you commit to an off-airport landing? I mean, you're just one step short of saying, I'm committing to crashing my airplane. I mean, it's a controlled put-down. And if you've never landed off an airport, how do you commit to doing that when that you've decided that's the safest thing?
Well, I think the worst part of the off-airport landing is getting out of the denial phase and admitting you have to do it. And once you've decided that, you've got that barrier behind you, then it's just a question of picking the muddy field or the road or whatever that you want to go into. Focus on that, control your speeds, and make the best of it. But it's, I think the most difficult part is just the decision to do it.
Right, and that's kind of what I was getting at. How do you do that?
I mean, the one thing you have here is it's different than a forced landing. You have choices. So, I mean, I would be looking for a meadow that looks like a runway. Given the flatter terrain and given the ability to choose your point geographically, you might find something. I mean, very similar to the process you use as you're flying along in a single seat. Where could I make a forced landing? Except this time you really do have choices.
Right. And this time you really do have to actually pull the trigger on right. That. Where am I going to make a forced landing? Well, it's going to be right there.
Yeah, and I got to think that unless you're in a Super Cub or a Cessna 180 or a plane that you could make a precautionary landing with a reasonable chance of taking back off again, that has got to be an incredibly hard decision because we see pilots time after time crash into a mountainside, lose control of an airplane rather than make a precautionary landing. And I could relate. I've never actually made a precautionary landing. I've made forced landings when the engine wasn't running, but I've never made a precautionary landing. And that would be in a plane like this in which you're pretty much assuring yourself of damage to the airplane and not flying out, that would be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, and clearly the issue here is to make a situation for yourself, to create a situation where you didn't have to make that decision, to back up the process and have some kind of, you know, objective numbers, whether it is how much visibility or how much altitude or what's my route or whether I'm even willing to go today, to prevent the situation from happening. Because once you've been suckered in around these little corners, I mean, you really do have no good options at all.